This is Viewpoint with attorney and author Chuck Crismeyer. Viewpoint is a one-hour talk show confronting the issues of America's heart and home. And now with today's edition of Viewpoint, here is Chuck Crismeyer.
Well, the U.S. stock market today, December 3rd, the Dow near a record high as weak jobs data supercharges the idea of the Fed cutting rates. Major U.S. indices hovered near record highs as traders bet heavily, that the Federal Reserve would cut rates at its final meeting just next week in 2025. Data showed that private employers shed 32,000 jobs in November, the biggest drop since 2023, and a sharp miss versus expectations for job growth. At the same time, another big headline came out today concerning the matter of gold and silver. Here it is. Gold holds steady, silver scales a record high. Gold prices held steady today, buoyed by weak private payrolls data that reinforced expectations of a U.S. interest rate cut next week, while silver hit a fresh record high. Gold is following silver at the moment. Lower interest rates tend to favor non-yielding assets such as gold. Silver is up 102% so far this year. Then again, there was another great night for the Republican Party. Trump congratulated Matt Van Epps for winning Tennessee's congressional race. What do all these things have to do at all with the money issue, the economy, gold, silver, the stock market, all of these things? What should we be interested in? What should we be concerned with? Trump decided to scrap Biden's fuel economy standards today. Proposed slashing fuel economy standards that former President Joe Biden had finalized in its latest push to make it easier for automakers to sell gas-powered cars. How will that affect everything? And then also another, a bubble, but maybe an air pocket. Wall Street says it's time to reset the AI narrative. Two Wall Street biggest firms say that the AI boom is far from a speculative mania, and we're not looking at any bubble soon. All of that today on Viewpoint with our special guest joining us today, Christian Biggs. He is the CEO. We've introduced him several times now on this program. The CEO of Hard Asset Management, dealing with rare coins and precious metals. He is a consultant to many congressmen, the White House, and so on. He's joining us here again to talk about these issues. Christian, it's good to have you on the program.
Well, Chuck, thanks for having me. We always seem to raise a little eyebrows when we speak on some of these topics, which are, you know, need to be talked about.
Well, they do need to be talked about, even for Christians. It is said that money makes the world go round. It's also said that love makes the world go round. It's also said that oil makes the world go round. So there are many factors, many things to consider. And today we're talking about money. That happens to be the area of your concern. But as a true follower of Jesus Christ, we know that we can't trust the economy. We can't trust money. We also don't need to say silver and gold have I none, as Peter said. On the other hand, we can't trust it, can we?
No, not always. You know, there's an old saying, you know, like Reagan made it very, very easy, you know, trust but verify. Remember those days?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
That's why I've got you on the program, because you're dealing in these issues in ways that probably almost none of our listeners are, including yours truly. I want to have as much relevant knowledge as possible. I don't want it to be the forefront of everything I think about, talk about, or do. And yet that is the area of your particular expertise. How did you happen to develop this kind of expertise? Tell us about it.
I'm not so sure I developed it knowingly, developing it. I think it just kind of came from reading so much. My biggest interest has always been mathematics. And when a application is applied. An application could be personal, corporate. It could be in your social life. An application means some kind of a task that we're applied to do or certainly willing to do. I have always been under the pretense that people lie, but math doesn't. So it only behooved me to kind of go deeper into politics, at least from a fiscal standpoint, not a direct relationship like trying to run for a high office, but rather trying to take the politics of the day and understand why is it we have almost a $39 trillion debt, the richest country in the world, has the largest debt, and now we have some of the largest and widening deficit spending, and the gap between what we bring in and what we owe and what we spend, it seems to be getting worse and worse. So I took a lot of those things of which I couldn't understand why we ran this and these kind of things and applied it to simple math, and I came back with the same conclusion. People in Washington, and I'm not saying all of them, but most of them, and I don't think anyone would disagree, most of them aren't interested in the viability of America, but rather the self-interest of their individualship of when they get there. And that's the reason why I got interested enough to maybe say, look, if you're going to make legislation and you're going to make it sometimes where it benefits an individual politician or a person elected to whether it's the House or the Senate, at least throw enough in there to help all the constituents of the entire United States rather than a select handful or even yourself. So I got involved and thought maybe it's time for someone to call this stuff out, not in a bad way, but rather to try to add significant value in areas of which that we could be adding value that would help America as a whole and not try to get rich a certain select individuals like, you know, the Biden administration. We now know that was one of the most corrupt, as well as the Obama administration, one of the most corrupt. And so because of that, it made me want to work that much harder.
Okay, so you're dealing with this. How long have you been engaged in this effort?
Well, I think it goes back about 5 years ago where I started getting interested when Trump was coming toward the end of his term and we saw all of this COVID, you got to be locked in your house kind of stuff. And I wondered to myself, why are we doing that? Because I had gotten that little virus and it was nothing more than a flu for me. I think there's something more to this story. And later we realized it was to get Trump out of office. It was to do the mail-in ballots. It was to undermine one of the greatest presidents in our living memory. And so I was like, hey, this is nefarious by bad actors. I think it's time that I get involved and try to figure out why was this happening? What's going to be the end game, which we now know what the end game was, which was something I suspected with the mail-in ballots anyway, certainly to try to win an election rather than steal the election. And three, it was more about trying to make sure that policy wasn't so one-sided to a more socialist communist agenda, which we now know that the Biden administration had many communists within his reach and doing very, very bad things. So that's what got me interested in saying, what can I do to help with nothing being implied to be returned to me, but rather what can I do to help my fellow citizen, believer or non-believer?
How is it then that you have gotten the ear of so many congressmen and senators to deal with this issue? I'd like you to respond to that right after this break. Friends, we're talking with Christian Biggs with regard to this matter of economics, its interrelationship with politics, and so on. There's much to be talked about here today because there are so many headlines that speak to this very issue. We'll be right back after this. You're listening to Viewpoint.
Once upon a time, children could pray and read their Bibles in school. Divorces were practically unknown, as was child abuse. In our once great America, virginity and chastity were popular virtues and homosexuality was an abomination. So what happened in just one generation? Hi, I'm Chuck Chrismeyer, and I urge you to join me daily on Viewpoint, where we discuss the most challenging issues touching our hearts and homes. Could America's moral slide relate to the Fourth Commandment?
Listen to Viewpoint on this radio station or anytime at saveus.org.
Welcome back to Viewpoint. I'm Chuck Chrismeyer. Here is a little bit of information that you might find fascinating concerning our guest today, Christian Briggs. He is the CEO, Chief Economic Officer of a company called Hard Asset Management. And he's been in the hard asset business for over 35 years, together with the principals and employees of the company, they've successfully bought and sold nearly $500 million in precious metals and rare coins. He's also a serial entrepreneur, raised $130 million in venture capital for an online interactive video program or platform. He's helped to create several high-profile technology patent digital video with cue points, and recently had a family partnership that sold its digital media software company for over $8 million. He has is seen by many within the political realm as a important voice, a very important voice for this such a time as this. So, Christian, why do you think that is?
Well, Chuck, I think there's a pretty easy way in which to explain it. There are members of Congress that think logically, that think morally, and number three, which is the most important one, think constituently. If that's even a word, but we're gonna make
you
it
mean
a word
there,
tonight.
There are still members of Congress that have all three of those attributes working together.
Oh, there is. Oh, there's not a lot, but there are several that actually carry all of those quality attributes. And you can take Senator Hagerty of Tennessee, Senator Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, Pat Fallon of Texas, and I can go further even with Rich McCormick of Georgia and so forth. There is a Warren Davidson of Ohio for Ohio people. There is always going to be a reflection of logic when posed with certain members of Congress. They'll think logically. They don't always have the loudest voice. They don't always have the majority within their own party or in their own chambers, whether it's the House or the Senate. But let me tell you something about these individuals, and there's more. I'm not naming all of them, so don't ever think it's just limited to them. But these are people that think logically, they think morally, but they also think with a conscience. And they always want to do what's right for the country. I've never seen people put first and foremost the country ahead of their own self-interest. And these people do it. Again, there's many more that would qualify. Trent Kelly of Mississippi is clearly one of them. So, again, when I reached out to these people over the last 4.5 to 5 years to ask them for help in identifying different things that have come through Congress and or was working within the usurping Congress's authority, I asked a simple question. Is and are the things of which I produce or share with you and write some analysis and white papers on credible? It turns out it was all credible, so I got the ear from these people because logic and mathematics are pretty much one and the same because they speak certain language. It's certainty, not theory.
Uh-huh.
4 + 1 is going to equal 5. No matter how many times you change the variables, the outcome and the conclusion is the same. So they think like that. So it was easy for all of us to work together in such a way to try to reshape either policy or to bring to light some things that the Biden administration was doing that would and otherwise be considered usurping Congress's authority.
So you feel like you've been able to speak meaningfully to much of the financial issues of our time, particularly in our country, by speaking with these various congressmen, senators, and so on, through your expertise in the not just in the stock market particularly, but in the area of rare coins and hard assets.
Yeah, that's a byproduct. You know, that's what I do. But my focus of the last 5 years has really been to make sure that the government, as we call it, whether it's local, state, or federal levels, is working as much as we can make them work in the best interest of the constituents that they represent, whether it's elected or appointed positions. What we try to do at my family office is to make sure that we do the very best to bring to light anything that we feel needs to be addressed that would not otherwise be talked about. So we're trying to help the people that, and there's a lot of times, Chuck, that people think they're not heard, that they're underserved or they're not being represented. Even when there are people that do represent them, do the best they can, sometimes it takes that old theory that a man that lives 100 miles away can bring advice closest to people, even as close to somebody that's right there in your inner circle, because it's a new, fresh face or a new voice. So all I try to do is give the information to the people that I know will use that information. It's not just about Christian values. It's about values, period and foremost. Keeping that oath of office first and foremost. And these are the people. And again, there's more of them. I could spend 2 hours listing all the quality people out there, but there are great people that will always maintain the consistency of their oath of office. I try to help them find ways of which to maintain that oath in the entire, as much as we can, to represent America as a whole.
Well, given the arena that you work in, since the scripture says the love of money is the root of all evil, how do you keep your balance?
Well, the balance is to always put forth Christ, the teachings of, and then everything else there which kind of fall into place. So it's not ever about the money. It's really about doing the right thing.
Okay.
And sometimes doing the right thing is the most unpopular thing you're going to get, because as we know, the world doesn't like a popular Christian.
Well,
and sometimes you have to be that.
Yeah. Okay. Now, the last time we were together, we talked about digital currency and the move toward that. The world has not fully transitioned to digital currency, but there's an accelerating move in that direction. In fact, 137 countries representing 98% of the global GDP are exploring these central bank digital currencies. And three countries have already launched it fully. The U.S. and Europe are moving forward. In fact, Europe just last week announced that they are going to implement this by 2029, didn't they?
They did, and here's the scary part about that, and you bring up a good point about the three countries that have already done it. They're moving so fast on this, one has to wonder, what is the end game? Well, the end game is controlling of all the wealth. I've always said this, and we'll dive into that CBDC stuff and the related parties that are now making it all happen, is the World Economic Forum made it very clear. You will own nothing and be happier. They're trying to sell the world, Chuck, on less
is more.
A responsibility. Well, less is more in some regards, but they want you to have no more. Not just less is more. They want you to have no more.
So that they have absolute control.
Well, sure, it's all about control.
So this is why Senator Rand Paul stated concerning the Genius Act, I'm not voting for this Mark of the Beast system.
Right, and that's what it is. And Warren Davidson in the House voted against it. So it's not that the Genius Act was set out to be something that would morphine into or have some kind of a way of which to control the currency, the digital currency, but in unscrupulous hands, it's no different than a gun. A gun can save lives or take lives.
Right.
It's the end user that makes that determination, not the gun. The gun doesn't have any kind of a thought process, no emotion. It is simply a byproduct of an action of an individual that has either the emotion to take or to save a life. The Genius Act is a gun. It has either the ability to maintain the consistency of a strong dollar in a digital form, provided that the administration or the administrators that are in charge of the levers of the Genius Act are working with the moral compass that you and I would consider to be the one with which we want to support. If that moral compass is now different than the ideology that you and I would hold, or anybody, again, you don't have to be a Christian, you can have great morals that limit your ability to do anything bad. However, the wrong administration can make changes to this act and make it very clearly a CBDC, and there's no disputing it. The question is, how do we fix it? And next year, we're going to work on that. My take on things right now, with the way the world is moving so aggressively, the UK, Europe, Eastern Europe, China, Southeast Asia, Russia, parts of Africa, and even parts of the Caribbean, will uniformly have a synced up type monetary policy soon,
mm-hmm.
or digital currency in a full centralized environment be within the next 36 months. You know, people think, oh, 29 is so long away. Really? Well, you got 26, 27, and then 28.
Yeah.
And it's not like it's going to flip a switch. They get closer. The walls of the prison are starting to shut.
Well, let's put it differently. The walls, the pathway to the fulfillment of biblical prophecy, as we see set forth in Revelation 13 and 14, is rapidly appearing right before our eyes.
Yes. I agree.
Okay. Now, we're not going to spend the rest of our time today talking about the digital currency and all of that. We've talked about that pretty significantly. But just before earlier this afternoon, anticipating this program today, you emphasized this election of Matt Van Epps winning the Tennessee congressional race as significant in your eyes related to economic factors, relating to the economy, the stock market, gold and silver. So let's explore that from your viewpoint.
Okay. Well, first of all, let's talk about the man, Matt Van Epps, the character, integrity, above reproach. His service record is astonishing. His valor is now fully commended within everybody who's ever met him. So he is a rock star individual, Christian, family man, father, husband. He has great people around him.
Unlike the competitor who showed herself, she said she was uncomfortable with prayer, that men can give birth to babies. She talked about burning down police stations. She was extremely controversial and anti-Christian.
Yeah. Now, if you had said those things and she would have the kind of spark that ignited her race, and then compare that to Matt, who I know Matt personally, very good friend, and a great individual, a human being. His wife is just wonderful. If you had come to me 3 months ago and said that she was going to take the numbers, I would have said, if she's going to take the numbers, then we're running on women's issues. We're running a campaign that we're going to have to now be more mindful of: health care, child care, crime prevention, cost of living, things like that.
Uh-huh.
So she did a good job. I will give credit where credit's due. But had you got her into a position of authority and power, all these wonderful things she was promising, she would abandon. She would be socialist, communist, which she's already admitted she's a socialist Democrat. She said this very clearly, in ways of which they are socialist intentions.
Uh-huh.
So you don't have to say I'm a socialist per se, but if you say high taxes, or you say open borders, or you say a number of different things that would give you the impression of socialist, socialism, then how she got so many votes, let's just call it votes, is astonishing. But what that means is people are resonating, they're connecting with her message, which means the Republican Party needs to start looking at this a little more aggressively, because Matt, he won. So the good news is he won, and I'll take 1 point to win the Super Bowl every day on Sunday. So we got a good guy
in the
house.
Well, he won by 9 points. That's good.
Right. That is correct. Now, we love to see him win by 29. You betcha. But the good news is he won. But the other news, that's not bad news because you have time to reflect on it. The good news is we can reflect on how come she did win, how come she got so many votes, and she did win the vote. She won the hearts and mind of more people. She didn't win the election, but she won the votes. And I want to know why, because women and other types of – and there's not just women. There are others. There's, you know, single fathers out there and men that obviously can associate or connect with her topics. But really, I think it was a sheep and wolf's
– right.
A wolf in sheep's clothing – that still sounds like a sheep, no matter how she talks. But she's a Bernie Sanders. She's a Bernie Sanders and AOC wrapped up in the package.
All right, you, without actually saying it, you have implied that there is a very significant difference in the way women in our country today view things that affect the economy. Tell us how that is.
It goes back to simple math. There are now more women registered voters than men through a couple different surveys and studies, and then numbers that are on local, state, or on the federal level. Obviously, some women vote locally, some vote general, some do both. But the bottom line is we now have about a 71 plus, 72 for males, and of course we have about 74, 75 almost for females, which actually that number is through 24. So it's women actually have gained, so it could be even more for the women than men. This year, certainly through the last seven, eight, 9 months.
Gained to whom?
Well, they've gained in various parts of the country, because look at Mamdani. Look at this guy. We never the people never thought he could be elected. And we can talk about that. I know we're going to a break here, but we can talk about some of the relevancy to that one.
All right. We'll be right back after this, friends. Again, what we're trying to do is find interconnections between what happens, say, in the headlines of our country as it relates to the economics, and the choices that we make. We'll be right back.
There is so much more about Chuck Crismeyer and Save America Ministries on our website, saveus.org. For example, under the marriage section, God has marriage on his mind. Chuck has some great resources to strengthen your marriage. First off, a fact sheet on the state of the marital union, a fact sheet on the state of ministry, marriage, and morals. SaveUS.org. Marriage, divorce, and remarriage. What does the Bible really teach about this? Find all of this at SaveUS.org. Also, a letter to pastors, the Hosea Project, saveus.org, and many more resources to strengthen your marriage. It's all on Chuck's website, saveus.org. Again, you can listen to Chuck's Viewpoint broadcast live and archived. Save America Ministries website at saveus.org.
Again, I welcome you back to Viewpoint. Today, we're talking about the realm of economics as it connects with politics, as it connects with elections, as it connects with the stock market, all of these things interconnected. And our special guest, Christian Briggs, who is the CEO of Hard Asset Management. And by the way, if you want to check out Hard Asset Management, their website is bmchardassetsplural.com. That's bmchardassetsplural.com. Okay, now you mentioned, we've been talking about the election last evening of Matt Van Epps there in Tennessee, a very, very hard fought race. And the gal that lost did not lose by as much as people might have expected. Her name is Afton Behn, B-E-H-N, a Democrat. And she was, her numbers were largely strengthened and built up by her feminine appeal. So my question then is, how does the feminine appeal affect the economic the economy of the United States, the decisions with regard to, say, the stock market, things like that?
Good question. Great question. So the stock market today was relieved in two parts. One, they did like the fact that Matt won, and Matt should have won. So integrity and character does matter in his district, and that's what counts. The second thing was the jobs numbers obviously were down, which means that we're probably going to get a pretty decent rate cut, certainly 25 basis points next week.
Right.
I'm hoping for 50, which actually will be, I think, more in line with what's the appropriate number. But, again, we'll see. But they're going to get a rate cut next week from the Fed's fund rate, which may actually bring interest rates down a little bit in the short term. And, again, the stock market liked the fact that Matt won. That was a Republican sweep, so we keep the House. The unknown factor is we're coming into the next cycle, so Matt's going to have to run again in 3 months.
Right.
He'll start campaigning in January, February. I mean, enjoy D.C. for the next 6 weeks, my brother, because you're back on the campaign trail.
Yeah.
And that's for every member of Congress that's coming.
That's true.
You know, there's some Senate seats as well that are in cycle in 26. So the markets are feeling pretty good overall. That's what I got.
In other words, they felt stabilized by the election of Matt.
Mm-hmm.
They felt stabilized there. They feel energized by the likelihood of a rate cut next week. So those are factors that are affecting the stock market. How do they affect gold and silver?
Oh, they're very good for gold and silver. So as we move forward, we have three fundamental things that are happening around gold and silver, which everybody needs to be aware of. Number one, when interest rates are declining, gold and silver always appreciate. It's actually an asset that not only hedges inflation, but it hedges interest rate declines or when interest rates are being cut. So that's good news. Because what that means is when you're cutting rates, we're going into a recession. So gold and silver is an anti-recession asset in general. So rate cuts signal a slowing economy or certainly the warranting of lower Fed funds rates,
right,
to be able to kind of get that credit going again because it lowers interest rates typically
okay
at the banks.
But let's talk about that. Let's apply that to the individual listening here today. If the interest rates are dropping, That means if you're trying to put your money into CDs, your return is going to be so low as to be almost impossible to identify. And therefore, investment in gold and silver, which doesn't pay dividends but will increase in value, is much more desirable. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, it's capital growth. So right, you can put money in a CD, and provided that the bank doesn't go under and you're not over $250,000 per account, then you're probably going to be saving. If that,
well, it you might be safe, but you're only going to get 2%, 3% interest.
I know. And some people measure that as success. I'm not going to say it's not, because mm-hmm. everybody's definition of success could be different. So I'm going to respect that for now. But I would say my measure of success would be no more than that. Okay. Do I anticipate silver to hit $100 an ounce in the next 12 to 24 months? Absolutely. Do I think gold's going to hit $8,000 an ounce in the next 12 to 24 months? Absolutely. Because fundamentally, the metals are going to be needed in areas of which, or applications of which, that are going to be highly growth-oriented, whether it's money, stable coins, which is digital currency, supporting gold, supporting that, silver in AI development in both hardware as well as electric vehicles, electric of everything, and, of course, solar. There's a tremendous amount of demand from the fundamentals usage of these metals,
right,
not just from emotional buying.
Okay. So the next question is, if we see, as you've spoken about, this idea of advancing rather quickly up to the year 2029 with the digitization of money around the world, how does that affect the gold and silver issue?
Well, again, I'm going to make it as easy as I can to follow the ball here. We are in a war, a financial war, with China and the BRICS nations for currency supremacy globally in every type of trade, international and localized trading, okay, which is currency usage to buy and sell goods and services. China has proclaimed themselves to be the supreme leader of the currency war before it's even been decided. It's not even close to being decided yet.
Dollar, well, they're also buying up gold like there's no tomorrow.
Correct. And are you doing that in order to shore up their balance sheet, and two, to give warrant of value, credibility, and to backstop their version called the digital yuan, to be able to get that in more usage around the world? The more they use it, and I'm not talking about China in itself, I'm talking about every other trading partner that they have. Every country of the 120 or 30 developed countries that have meaningful GDP, they have instituted themselves and inserted themselves over the last 40 years through trade deals called cooperative agreements and joint ventures in order to be able to get their tentacles deep within the social fabric of the government and society and culture by lending them money, investing with them for all sorts of things from high-scale roads, high-scale trains, bridges, hospitals, schools, government buildings. What they did was, instead of spending $27 trillion on wars and corruption, and we can't even figure out where the DOD, Department of Defense money goes because we can't audit it, and we do, we don't know where it's at. They spend it on infrastructure. So their currency is strong because their debts are low and their GDP is strong. So in other words, they're backing their currency with gold, their digital currency, trying to make it at the forefront of the next generation of usage, which is, by the way, it's working. They're not there yet. Right. But it's working.
All right. So where does that affect us as the United States with respect to the dominance of the dollar for world trade?
So, again, a great question. Because people don't realize that the dollar is not the dominant commercial asset, or I call it the reserve asset, currently. So gold and the euro are now the largest reserve currency. The dollar is still the number one in usage currency every day at about 50 to 51% of all transactions. But remember, Chuck, 40 years ago, we were at like 80 percentile. We're not going in the right direction long term. We are in a permanent decline. However, gold and silver, and I'm saying this hypothetically, maybe I know more, maybe I don't, but hypothetically, don't be surprised at some point if gold and silver, both or one or the other, probably gold more than silver, but they could both be utilized to backstop the U.S. dollar in digital form, that would blow up incredibly well the dollar usage. It would help bring short-term treasuries and some long-term treasuries down. And don't be surprised if some way, somehow, some of that happens, because gold and silver are not going up this aggressively because they're shiny.
They're golding up, going up because what?
Well, they're going up because there's potential of greater usage and value to just what they've been used for. Fundamentally, they should be going up. Technically, it could be greater than the fundamentals that we know of today. There could be many more bigger things for gold and silver around the corner that would bring their demand exponentially even higher, which means prices today look cheap compared to what could be in the next 3 to 5 years.
All right. So then how does that relate then to, say, the digitization of money? The gold and silver are not digitized. They're substantive. They're the real thing. They're the hard asset. As you said, you run hard asset management. So they're hard assets. The digital is not. It's just like a digitized version of the paper currency that we have that's not worth a continental unless people put value in it. So the question then is, how does gold and silver make it in comparison with the digitization of all other transactions?
Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm going to tell you how it's going to all go down, at least what I think is the proper way of which to stabilize and to increase the demand value proposition overall dollar value is to back the United States dollar in digital form with gold and silver. Now, if we do that, let's say we do that even disproportionately to the debt, because there's no way we can buy $38 trillion worth of gold and silver that's completely outweigh the debt with an asset versus the debt itself. But if by some measure or some portion of the debt is backed by gold and silver and the stable coin is also backstopped, there's got to be some measure, okay? And again, I don't know the percent, if it's 5% or 50 or could be more, but there is something being done with gold and silver that this administration is super smart. They understand the value of what real money is. Trump's a Christian. He knows gold is God's and silver is God's wealth to the believers and the people. But he also knows that we're in times right now of such uncertainty with this debt that something has to be done. So don't be surprised if there's some measure, it may actually be backing treasuries with gold, gold-backed treasuries. But look at all the central banks around the world, look at the price of gold, and look at what's happening. We're not buying gold in such great numbers just because it's fancy or it's fashionable to own. It's because there's a bigger play here by both our government and governments around the world. I mean, people can look this up. Central banks around the world are buying gold. I mean, everybody is buying gold in the government world. So think about that. What's going on? We'll put the puzzle together. The pieces are clearly right there.
All right, so Fort Knox may actually have to become a Fort Garden.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be right back after this with Christian Briggs, friends. This is Viewpoint. Viewpoint does determine destiny. What's your viewpoint on all these things? Do you care? Is it relevant to you? Maybe we should discuss the relevance even further in the final section of the program here today. This is an unusual program. We've not done this kind of thing much in the past. We'll be right back.
Have you ever considered what the early church was like? Many people are developing a heart longing for greater fulfillment in our practices as Christians. A recent study showed 53,000 people a week are leaving the back door of America's churches in frustration. What is going on? Why has there not been even a 1% gain among followers of Christ in the last 25 years? Could it be that God is seeking to restore first century Christianity for the 21st century? Jesus said, I'll build my church. Is Christ by his Spirit stirring to prepare the church for the 21st century? The early church prayed together and broke bread from house to house. They were family, and it was said by all who observed, behold how they love one another. Incredible.
But the same can be found right now. Go to saveus.org and click sell church. We can revive first century Christianity for the 21st century.
It's about people, not programs. It's about a body, not a building.
That's saveus.org. Click Sell Church.
Have you noticed, friends, that we have not been giving specific financial advice here on the program today? We haven't been doing that. What we've been doing is looking at the issues, looking at the interrelationship between headlines, developments and so on, what is actually happening on the ground and how they're interrelated. That way, you have an opportunity to assess these things and make your own decisions. You really do. And so our guest today is not coming on in some kind of a dynamic way to say you've got 3 days in order to do this, that, or the other, and you're going to be instantly wealthy, you're going to be protected against inflation for the rest of your life or anything like that. That's not what he's doing. What he's doing is analyzing the issues, and I'm helping to facilitate that, hopefully, here, so that it's meaningful to you as a regular citizen, Christian citizen of the United States of America. We know that our lives do not consist of the abundance of our possessions. They just don't. You could have, $100 million in the stock market, and you could lose half of it in a day or two. That's what happened in 1987, Black Monday. That's what happened. More than a third of the entire stock market value was lost in 2 days. That's right. So, look, we cannot put our trust in any of these things, but we still have to make reasonable decisions. In fact, Jesus himself said, in fact, he talked about the issue of stewardship. And he said, you know, a certain amount of money was given to three different people. And, what they did with it. One invested it all, another invested some of it. One just put it in the ground, didn't do anything with it because he wanted to preserve it. Jesus said that person was an unfaithful steward. Did nothing with it. He didn't say, well, this other guy, you know, he invested it and made millions, and so he didn't accentuate that aspect. He said, we're trustees, you see. We're trustees of what God puts in our possession, and let's treat those things that way. We don't put our trust in them. We put our trust in the Lord, but we deal with what he has given to us as trustees for his kingdom. That's the best summary that I can give you now as we enter this final segment of the program today. All right. Now, we've talked about gold and silver. We've talked about the digital currency. We've talked about the effect of a political election. We've talked about the effect of an interest rate cut. How about this issue of AI? Everything has been said that AI is the place where everybody's investing. This is where the bulk of the money is going for investment, and it's driving up the stock of companies that are involved in this to stratospheric levels like NVIDIA. So the question then has been, well, maybe this is just another bubble. Maybe like back in 2008, maybe it's ready to explode and the whole AI thing will come apart. Then came this from finance.yahoo today, not a bubble, maybe an air pocket. The Wall Street Journal says it's time to reset the AI narrative. In other words, how we look at it. So two Wall Street biggest firms say the AI boom is far from a speculative mania. What say you?
Yeah, no, it's not a bubble whatsoever. Think about this. It's basically going from oil lamps 5,000 years ago to candles to electricity to nuclear energy and almost to hydrogen. The AI is not a transformation of a current system. It's the completely removal of the current system, making way for every wire. Every wire in the world is going to be rewired in an AI programming platform.
And that's the reason why massive data centers are being installed everywhere across the country. In fact, just last week or 2 weeks ago, the Board of Supervisors, where I live, authorized the building of one of these centers that just a few miles from where I live. I wasn't real thrilled about that. I mean, these are massive centers, like
they're as big as
hundreds
Central Park,
of acres.
Yeah, there's like Central Park under one roof.
Yeah.
See, the thing about it is those systems, and they're not just data centers being built here. You should see what they're doing in Germany, New Zealand, Australia, South Korea, Africa, even in South America, they're building them in Brazil, Colombia, Argentina.
Well, they're covering over massive areas of the world's real estate.
Well, they are, but remember, this is how you run a central bank digital currency. This is how you run digital ID. This is how you run new transportation requirements. You probably saw TSA this week now says you're going to pay $45 every time you don't have a real ID or you don't have digital ID.
That's right.
Or some measure. So they're forcing us into this small little box where data is collected because we have no way of which to go around it or circumvent it. Now, the question is what does this mean for individuals? What it means is, if you ever saw the movie The Matrix, we're now probably 3 to 5 years away from the entry-level version of that film. And number two, the amount of precious metals that are going into these servers, these wires, these overall structures of data centers for silver and gold is more than, is an example, I'll give you silver. We produce about 1 billion ounces per year, give or take. The demand for silver will be at least 1.3 to 1.4 billion this coming year, may even be 1.5 billion ounces. So what's going to happen is above ground inventory is going to start getting gobbled up like it's been for the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. Silver should go to 200 to 300 an ounce over the next 3 to 5 years, and gold should hit 12 to 15,000 on central bank buying to back digital currencies of all different types, not just the dollar. So the AI revolution is not a bubble, but it's a transition from 5,000 years of physical to the next generation of algorithms and control, transportation, healthcare, money, all the things of which, even your vacation. The reason Facebook transitioned to Meta and Meta Universe is that 99% of people will travel from their living room to their living room wearing a pair of goggles looking at a screen. That's the Meta. That's what it's transitioning to.
Oh, man.
You won't have the resources because you won't own anything.
Well, that's synthetic authenticity. That's everything is fake.
In some cases, the case to be made fake is this. What is today will not be like tomorrow. Tomorrow is an algorithm. Now, you're physically there. You're physically in your mind traveling. But no, you're not really traveling, but you're giving the sensation you are. Mm. Just like currency. Today's currency, like Venmo or Cash App, when you transfer assets from peer-to-peer A to B, you're buying or selling something or someone owes you money, that's a token with a unique serial number that identifies a value of one,
right,
like a dollar. So what's happening today is we're being told that the next generation of the way of which the world works is going to be an artificial intelligent world. But again, intelligent, but it's artificial. To make you believe that you're still part of an existing of something that you have value. If you want to have value, gold and silver right now are still incredibly cheap based on where we believe they're going to be soon and based on two things. One, fundamentally, but also technically. Because AI, technically, you're not going to stop it. Fundamentally, you need silver, massive amounts of silver within those data centers, within those servers, the wiring, electric vehicle wiring, solar silver. Windmills and 5G towers have platinum in them. So precious metals are fundamentally absolutely part of the revolution, and technically you can still get rich by owning those assets.
You know what this reminds me of is an article that came out. It was the cover story of Time magazine, I think around 15 years ago, something like that. And it was 10 ideas that are changing the world. Number 7 of those ideas was called synthetic authenticity. Well, just the words themselves sound ridiculous. Synthetic authenticity, the pretense of the real. But there were two business gurus from Harvard that actually wrote a book saying that the people don't want the real. They just want the pretense of the real. If you say you're offering that which is real, you put a target on your back to prove that you're offering the real. So don't try to prove that you're offering the real. Offer that which the people perceive as the real or take for granted as if it were real. Like, you know, the devil wore Prada. Well, what if you get a Prada bag or a Prada shoe that isn't really a Prada but looks like it? It's a lookabout, a wannabe of the product. So this is what you're talking about here, a synthetic world in which money is not real. It's digital. It's not real. any more than our current currency is real. It's just the value we attribute to it, the trust that we put in it. But now it's going to be a mere digit, and there's nothing of substance. The only thing remaining of substance is gold and silver then, or palladium or something like that.
Correct. And Bitcoin is a myth.
It's a myth.
It's a myth. It will not be around in 5 years, and it's showing its signs of weakness now by being as volatile, and it's making now some lower lows from the volatility. So don't be surprised if it gets X'd out in the next 5 years, because no government is going to allow a currency to be utilized within its jurisdiction or its borders that they cannot be controlled, surveilled, or even monitored for nefarious or bad actors. It's a decentralized system, and every government on this planet to do a CBDC, and 98% of the world is now in development to a CBDC to launch it, will never allow something to transact as a competitive product, or in this case, a competitive currency, to their own currency. Because why? Well, why even bother making a CBDC in the first place if you're going to let somebody transact with anonymity? It's not going to happen.
Right.
And so, Bitcoin will go to zero.
So Bill Gates' vision that he put into a patent with the U.S. Patent Office back in March of 2020 to join together in one digital collection ability in a chip or whatever it was to merge healthcare and medicine together with all economic transactions. That's really where things are moving. That's what these data centers are about. And ultimately, the entire world will be merged into that system, right?
Correct. I made this comment to somebody recently, and I'll say it again. Soon, every Christian in the world is going to believe that the Bible is actually accurate, completely accurate, not just portions that we want to believe. And the mark of the beast is here. Rand Paul was right, and everybody else can see it coming. In order for revelations to be fulfilled, we had to convince ourselves that digital was the way to go. Well, we've done that. So now digital currency, and if anybody's listening, go look up Apple starts testing implanted chips to replace iPhones and iPads. They've already started. And if you want to play Xbox or any kind of a video game, online video game, there are now chips you can implant. You don't even have any controllers anymore. It's all mind control. You'll be able to buy and sell with the chips, whether they're implanted in your head or your hand, to be able to go travel, to use cars, electric vehicles, or to simply just buy and sell goods. And it'll all be uniquely identifiable to you as the individual. That's the mark of the beast. That's the uniqueness of what we're talking about.
Which means it'll be under government surveillance and control. And if you don't go along with the existing government and resist, then they cut off your ability to use that which otherwise would seem to be yours.
Right. In order to do all that, you got to have one fundamental thing, though. None of this can be possible without one thing. Digital ID and the data centers that propagate all of those things I'm talking about and then hold that data. So you first need digital ID to become the law of the land, which it is now under immigration here. Go to the airport. You've been to the airport lately? Digital ID is everywhere. You're doing your driver's license? That's digital ID.
Yeah.
The data centers have to be built to can hold all of that data and then to function that stuff so it actually all works. Well, they've done it.
Well, it's the best mankind can do to get right up to God, to control everything, and that's where it is, friends. 666. All right, our special guest, Christian Briggs, with his hard asset management company, Rare Coins and Precious Metals. If you want to know more about his company and what he does, you've heard his analysis of things. BMC Hard Assets, that's plural, hardassets.com. That's BMC hardassets.com. Christian, I'm so glad that we've developed a kingdom friendship here, and we'll continue on from time to time to keep you updated, my friends. But today, I think, was very helpful, and thank you so much for joining us, Christian. Friends, become a partner, send your gifts by faith to Save America Ministries. Do it today. Don't delay. God bless you.
You've been listening to Viewpoint with Chuck Chrismeyer. Viewpoint is supported by the faithful gifts of our listeners. Let me urge you to become a partner with Chuck as a voice to the church declaring vision for the nation. Join us again next time on Viewpoint as we confront the issues of America's heart and home.